As someone drawn to the dance floor and the glittering lights, it was hard for her to understand his preference, though it didn't mean she didn't respect it. The very fact that he wasn't a swaggering, arrogant extrovert was part of his charm, part of what she'd fallen in love with. That and his strength, his desire to give rather than take, his innate goodness. She bit her lip, looking back out of the window. God, he was so different to her, so much better. She was the one always on the take. Self-centred and demanding, she pushed people into doing what she wanted them to do, irrespective of their wishes. She hadn't even learned from her last monumentally selfish act, despite the tragic consequences. Oh no, what she'd done to her family, now she was doing to Nick. Pestering him to come over and see her, ignoring the fact that he kept telling her he was busy. Heck, she was even dragging him to a party he didn't want to go to. Because he was kind, because he cared, he was doing what she'd asked. Instinctively, she reached across and squeezed his hand, her heart feeling uncomfortably tight in her chest. What was that for? Does there have to be a reason? Well, no, I guess not. He looked so adorable, his eyes like those of a Labrador who wasn't sure what its master was trying to tell him. Unable to resist, she leant over and planted a soft kiss on his mouth. It was just to thank you for being you. By the end of tonight, you might be wishing I was someone else. She had no time to wonder what he meant by that, because security were waving them through Catherine's gates and up the sweeping driveway towards the white mansion at the top of the hill. A typical Hollywood-style grand villa, it boasted ornate balustrades, a sweeping marble staircase, tall Roman-style columns, and an immaculate lawn. Oh, and the compulsory swimming pool.
Just your average house in Beverly Hills, then,
Nick remarked as he helped her out of the limousine. Suddenly, his attention was caught by a vision in vivid purple.
Oh, my God, isn't that...
He didn't have time to finish his sentence before Lizzie was swept into a full-on embrace by the woman in question. Catherine, I'd like you to meet Nick. It was quite obvious Nick knew who the glamorous brunette was.
Nick, a pleasure to meet you.
Catherine extended her hand, and Nick gallantly kissed it.
I rather think the pleasure is all mine.
Catherine let out an amused chuckle.
Oh, you Englishmen have such manners. Delightful.
She clasped both of them by the hand and walked with them up the steps.
Now, come on in and make yourselves at home.
On reaching the top, she turned and smiled at Nick.
Don't be a stranger, Nick. Before the evening's over, I want to find out exactly what it is about you that's put such a huge smile on Elizabeth's face.
She reached up and placed a hand on his cheek, studying him, though I think I can probably work some of that out for myself. Catherine wandered off to greet more guests, and Lizzie glanced slyly over at Nick. Glad you came now? His breath came out in a rush.
Hell's teeth, you could have warned me. I mean, she's one of my all-time favourite pin-ups.
Lizzie raised her eyebrows at him, and he grinned.
Along with you, of course.
His eyes swung back to Catherine's tall, elegant figure.
But I mean, wow, she doesn't disappoint in the flesh, does she?
Lizzie put a hand on the side of his face and pulled his attention back to her. No, she doesn't. She raised her mouth and kissed him hard on the lips. And that's just to remind you who you came with. She was drawing back when he circled her waist with his arm and pulled her more firmly against him.
How could I ever forget that?
He whispered before deepening the kiss. The man could kiss. There was no doubt about it. In fact, his kisses should carry a health warning. In particular, they shouldn't be allowed in a public place, because when she was kissing him, she became totally unaware and dangerously uncaring of where she was.
Hey, lovebirds, what's the phrase the kids use? You need to get a room?
With her mind still full of Nick's kiss, it took a moment for Lizzie to take in who was speaking. Siobhan, she managed as her and Nick drew apart. Good to see you. Lizzie turned to Nick and made the introductions. Siobhan was a fellow model. Poor Nick would be totally fed up with meeting models by the end of the evening. On the other hand, she took in his slightly gaping mouth, the glazed expression, perhaps he'd quite enjoy it.
Is everyone at this party going to be an actress or a model? Nick asked as she guided him towards the bar. Are you hoping the answer will be yes or no? His boyish grin spoke volumes. I've got to admit, as parties go, this one certainly has its advantages. Shaking her head at him, she surveyed the partygoers. Well, I hate to disappoint, but I can also spot a few actors, a couple of directors, some photographers.
Any accountants?
Only you so far. Clasping his jacket lapels, she drew him towards her and kissed him again. But the night is young. They found a table and were soon joined by a few more models from the agency. Nick looked in his element, so much so he didn't bat an eyelid when she told him she needed another drink. Typical. Give a man a pretty face and he forgot everything else around him. Even those he'd come to the party with, apparently. Huffing out a breath, she rose to her feet and wandered over to the bar. She was almost there when she was accosted by Catherine and dragged over to a quiet corner.
Darling, he's adorable. She gushed,
lean, athletic body, topped by puppy dog eyes and an intelligent face. Please tell me this man is it. Lizzie found she couldn't speak. Biting at her lip, she sadly shook her head. Why ever not? You know, I've been worried for you lately, my darling. Your taste in men has taken a real nosedive, and that was even before that toe-bag Charles. This one, though... Her eyes zeroed in on Nick, who was grinning at Siobhan and making her laugh. This one is a keeper.
I want to keep him, Lizzie replied quietly. But I'm very much afraid I can't.
Can't?
Watching Nick made her heart ache, so Lizzie turned her focus back to Catherine. I know this sounds melodramatic, but he's too good, Catherine. Certainly for someone like me.
What utter nonsense. He sounds exactly right for someone like you, much more so than those awful types you've been cavorting with recently.
Lizzie swallowed and wished she had a drink in her hands. She needed it right now. Maybe, but Nick lives in England. I need to live out here. He loves the peace and quiet. I need limelight and attention. Catherine narrowed her eyes and stared at her.
You don't need the limelight. It just comes with your job.
True, but I do need the job. Besides, I think you get the partner you deserve in life. And I've got a terrible feeling that, for me, it isn't Nick.
I've never heard anything so ridiculous.
Catherine would have said more, but Lizzie decided it was high time she changed the subject. Sorry, ignore me. I'm being sentimental because he goes back home tomorrow. You know what will cheer me up?
It wouldn't be a turn on the dance floor by any chance.
Exactly. She linked her arm through that of her friend. Come on, let's show this crowd some real moves. As the party became more raucous, Nick grew more restless. He could honestly say he'd enjoyed the first few hours. There were definite benefits of being introduced to some of Lizzie's friends. At times he'd had to blink to remind himself this was real. He wasn't just experiencing some hot fantasy where he was surrounded by the world's most gorgeous women. He'd even managed to make a reasonable impression. Apparently his stereotypical English appearance was cute. Given a choice, he'd have gone with something more macho, but frankly, beggars couldn't be choosers, and Hugh Grant seemed to have done all right out of it. It was the men he'd struggled with. At first, he'd stuck to asking the typical outsider's questions of the modelling and film industry. Interspersed with a few occasional nods, the conversation, well, monologue he supposed would be more accurate, had flowed reasonably well. When he'd run out of the obvious questions, though, it had all become a bit stilted. They weren't interested in what he did, so he held off discussing the finer points of cash flow forecasting. He did have a go at other subjects, but they seemed to be interested in only one, baseball.
Isn't that just Rounders with a helmet? He'd asked innocently.
The looks he'd been given had been sufficient to quell his next conversational gambit, a discussion on the English cricket season. So he chose to excuse himself and retreat to a quiet corner where he could watch Lizzie, who was dancing with a few of her friends. In a room teeming full of beautiful women, she still managed to shine more vibrantly than the rest. Her beauty was part of it, but she also seemed to have this inner glow. It took him back to her 18th birthday party and how he'd watched her dance there too. Her vivacity seemed to emphasize how very much she belonged here, while he, sitting alone and nursing a beer, clearly didn't. His body tensed as he watched the model from the perfume ad, Hank somebody, slither towards Lizzie like some giant reptile, a hunter towards its prey. Now he was right in front of her, too damn close. Jealousy threaded its sharp claws round his heart, and instinctively Nick stood, his body poised to march over and insert himself firmly and clearly between them. But as his feet started to move, he stopped himself. How would Lizzie feel if he strode over there like a petulant, jealous boyfriend, embarrassing her in front of the man she was currently working with? He sat back down again and made himself look away. Lizzie tried to push Hank away, but he was having none of it.
"Come on, stop trying to fight the inevitable,"
he whispered into her ear, as his arms wrapped round her in a vice-like grip. "There is nothing inevitable about you and me," she tossed back, straining to break away. "If you haven't already noticed, I've got a boyfriend." Hank turned and glanced over at where Nick was sitting at the back of the room, quietly drinking his beer.
"What, the English twat?"
Lizzie stiffened, fighting to get her hands between them so she could shove him away. "He's a damn sight more man than you'll ever be." Hank just shrugged off the insult.
"He looks like a bloke who prefers the quiet life, not the type to want a woman whose tawdry sex life has been splashed across the papers."
"That's where you're wrong." He raised a dark eyebrow.
"Am I? You really think that man hiding himself in the corner is going to want to hang round with a woman like you for too long? Hell, you've been in the spotlight so much these last few months, you've even pushed me off the front pages of the gossip columns."
She had a childlike desire to shove her fingers in her ears and block out what Hank was saying. Awful as it was to listen to his words, though, it was even more terrifying to realize their truth. All he was doing was repeating back her own fears. With a strength born of despair and anger, Lizzie finally extracted herself from Hank's arms and dashed away from the rowdy dance floor to the relative peace of the poolside. Finding herself, thankfully, alone, she lay back on one of the lounges and stared, agonized at the glass-like surface of the turquoise pool. What had she been thinking, forcing Nick out here? If she'd had any decency left in her at all, she would have said goodbye to him in England, like he'd suggested. But she hadn't. Desperate to hold on to him for as long as she could, she pleaded with him to come out, even though his reluctance had been obvious. The least she could do now was put him out of his misery, give him back the quiet life he craved. She was a complication he didn't need, and certainly didn't deserve. But he was too bloody nice to tell her. She'd have to be the one to cut him loose. And while she was at it, she might as well cut out her heart. "What are you doing over here, all alone?" From his seat in the corner, Nick turned and gave her a sheepish smile.
"Jet lag catching up with me."
"Really? So if it weren't for that, you'd have been right up there with me, strutting your stuff like Travolta?"
"Well, maybe not like Travolta. Isn't that style old hat now, anyway?"
Lizzie sighed and slipped in next to him. "Jet lag, my foot. We both know that's just an excuse, Nick." He flinched.
"Sorry. I didn't realize dancing was a compulsory part of the evening."
"It isn't. But it might have been a gesture on your part to at least have a go, instead of sitting here like a boring sod." Hurt flashed across his face, and inside Lizzie recoiled at her harsh description. She was the sod, but somehow she had to find a way to provoke him, to make him angry. It was the only way she'd have a hope of doing what she needed to do and ending the beautiful thing that had grown between them. She'd never manage it if he was being kind to her.
"I'm not like a boring sod. I am a boring sod," he replied tightly.
"You're not, but you could make more of an effort to mix."
"Why? Am I making you look bad?"
"Yes," she replied quietly, before turning on her heel and walking away. Her eyes filled with tears, and she briskly wiped them away. How it broke her heart to be so cruel to him. But she had to be cruel to be kind, didn't she? What a bloody stupid saying. Nick sat back and kicked himself. Now he'd thoroughly pissed off the one person he'd craved to talk to all night. Disgusted with himself, he swallowed down his beer. He might not be having a great evening, but really, did he have to spoil hers as well? One minute she was dancing without a care in the world.
The next, she was obviously upset, and all because of him. He was acting like a blinking wet weekend. Reluctantly, he rose to his feet. Time to bite the bullet and get on that ruddy dance floor. He was loitering on the edge, toying whether to wait for the next song or just barge straight on in there, when a soft Californian drawl came from behind him. "Are you ever going to ask me to dance?" Nick didn't realize the words were meant for him until a slim hand grasped him round the arm and started to move him towards the floor. "Catherine."
"Dancing isn't one of my strong points,"
he blurted as she wriggled her way through the gyrating throng and into some space. Christ, dancing was bad enough. The thought of dancing with his Hollywood pin-up drained away any dregs of coordination he might have had. She laughed and eased her arms round his shoulders. "Don't look so worried. I'm not going to eat you." They started to move. Nick knew he was holding himself too stiffly, too formally, but he couldn't seem to relax. He had a gorgeous woman in his arms, but he was praying for the music to finish. "You'll take care of Elizabeth, won't you?" Catherine whispered into his ear as they skirted round the outside of the dance floor. Her question took him by surprise.
"Yes, always."
"Good. Because whatever else she might tell you, she needs you in her life, Nick. She really does." As he contemplated the words, the music changed to a slow beat, and miraculously he found Lizzie beside him.
"You've got no idea how grateful I am to see you," he told her, gathering her into his arms.
She raised an eyebrow. "But you're dancing with your favourite actress." He shook his head.
"No, I was humiliating myself in front of her, but now I'm going to shuffle with my all-time favourite model, while subtly plastering my body indecently against hers."
For a second, just the briefest of moments, he felt her hesitate, as if she was coming to a decision. He held his breath, terrified, but then she relaxed against him, and he breathed again. Later, though, as they got ready for bed, Nick felt Lizzie withdrawing from him. It wasn't anything she said, rather the things she didn't say. He was used to her chatting away 10 to the dozen, laughing about what she'd seen, giggling over the antics of the people she'd met. Tonight she was eerily quiet. When she did speak, it was only to answer a specific question, and even then her replies were monosyllabic.
"Are you still angry with me?"
he asked finally as he pulled off his boxes and slipped into the bed. She turned away from him and slipped on a nightdress. "No?"
"It sure as hell doesn't feel that way. Look, let me apologize again for being a miserable git."
"You've done enough apologizing, Nick," she interrupted, pulling back the sheet and sliding underneath it. "I know you don't like parties. I shouldn't have taken you. The matter's over." Then she did something she'd never done before. She turned on her side, away from him. He was left staring at her long, slender back. A beautiful sight, but not one he wanted to be faced with. Tentatively, he draped an arm around her waist.
"Lizzie."
"I'm tired, Nick. Good night."
Ouch.
Her message was cuttingly clear. Smarting from the rejection, he rolled onto his back and stared up at the immaculate white ceiling. Long into the night, long after he felt her fall asleep, he still stared. Only inches separated them, but he might as well have been back in England for all the closeness he felt. Chapter 24 Nick woke from a restless sleep to find the bed beside him empty. In the short time they'd been together, he'd always woken with his arms wrapped around her. Then again, they'd never gone to sleep without making love either. The sense of foreboding he'd experienced last night came back in full force. It wasn't something he'd imagined, as he tried to kid himself during those dark, lonely hours. Now she'd seen him try to mix in her world, seen how embarrassing he'd been, how stiff, how awkward, how bloody dull. Lizzie didn't want him any more. Had Catherine, who'd seemed so warm, so welcoming, laughed quietly with Lizzie behind his back while she had told Lizzie how he'd stepped on her toes while they were dancing? He shook off the thought. No, Catherine had been the one to point out how much she believed Lizzie needed him in her life.
It must have been Hank, who Nick knew damn well had stared pointedly over at him sitting in the corner while he'd been dancing with Lizzie. Had seeing the comparison between them, Hank so bold, brash, broodingly handsome, him so opposite in every way. Had that been what had convinced her? Sitting up, Nick hung his head in his hands and tried to quell the feeling of fear. The outcome shouldn't come as a surprise. He'd always known it was coming. It was why he'd wanted the clean break. Yet he'd still foolishly persisted in keeping a small kernel of hope alive. Sure, she hadn't chosen to stay in England when he'd asked, but she kept phoning him, hadn't she? Kept asking him to come over. It had to have been his pathetic performance last night that had brought her hurtling back to her senses, because it was now pretty damn clear she wants to get back on with her life, one that didn't involve him. Down the hallway, in the kitchen, Lizzie splashed cold water into the kettle and tried not to cry. The sooner she got this over and done with, the better. Drawing it out was just prolonging the agony. And if Nick put his arms around her once more, like he had done last night, she knew she wasn't going to be able to have the strength to carry it through. She had to, for both their sakes. He didn't deserve to be drawn any further into a world he didn't want anything to do with. She needed to stop living a fantasy and face up to life without him. She looked up with a start, as Nick's tall frame filled the doorway, clad in a rumpled T-shirt and boxers.
"Here you are."
"Clearly." Her arms ached to hug him, to kiss the tiredness from his face, but instead she forced herself to put tea bags into mugs. "How's going to bring you breakfast in bed?"
"Looks like I've saved you the bother."
He cocked his head to the side and studied her.
"What's wrong, Lizzie?"
"Nothing." She kicked herself at her instinctive response. It was just the opening she'd needed, and she'd ducked it.
"Last night you didn't want to talk."
He paused, his eyes searching hers.
"Or make love. This morning you couldn't leave my side fast enough. I think I'm entitled to know what's going on."
"I..." Words she'd carefully rehearsed as she'd watched the sunrise suddenly stuck in her throat. Slowly he walked towards her. Taking hold of her hands, he brought them to rest against his warm chest.
"Since when have you not been able to talk to me?"
Her eyes filled. She didn't want him to be kind or sweet. She wanted him angry with her, cold and distant, anything but the gentle concern she was staring at now. "This is so hard," she whispered, dropping her eyes to look at their entwined hands. Hers small and pale, his strong and capable.
"Shall I make it easier?"
Abruptly he let go of her and stared out of the window, where the waves were splashing onto the beach.
"You want us to finish?"
She swallowed her surprise. Of course he knew. His sensitivity was a big part of who he was. "Yes," she replied, her voice catching in her throat. "I think it's for the best." Nick spun round sharply.
"For the best?"
He sounded as raw and as hurt as she felt.
"Best for who?"
"Best for both of us." A part of her died with each lie she spoke.
"I can see why it's best for you, but don't bloody kid yourself. This is best for me."
She gripped at the back of the kitchen chair, desperately trying to control the anguish churning inside her. "Of course it is. We can't carry on a relationship across the Atlantic. I can't stay in England, and you hate it here." Nick felt his heart turn in on itself, shrivelling into a burnt-out husk in his chest.
"This is about last night, isn't it?"
With an anger born of fear, he shoved at the chair, causing it to wobble dangerously.
"Just because I'm not prepared to make a total prick of myself on the dance floor, you suddenly think we're not compatible?"
It didn't matter he'd thought those very same sentiments himself. Faced with losing the woman he loved, logic flew out of the window. He wasn't going to give in without a fight. "We're not," she replied bluntly. "I'm a model, for God's sake. I'm extrovert, love to be the centre of attention, often selfish, very needy. You're..."
"Quiet. Dull,"
he supplied coldly. "No," she threw back. "You're anything but dull. You're funny, smart, generous, warm."
"But that isn't what you want.
Of course it's what I want. It's what every woman wants.
Her voice wobbled and he stared at her sharply, wondering why she looked so cut up when she was the one doing this to them.
Then what's the problem?
He asked quietly.
The problem?
She sucked in a breath and let it out slowly.
Problem is, you're too damn nice.
Too nice?
He rocked back, stunned. Whatever he'd been expecting, it hadn't been that.
And that's a bad thing?
As soon as the words were out, he wanted to withdraw them. Of course it was a bad thing. How many romantic heroes were ever described as nice? It was a wishy-washy word, tepid and uninspiring.
Of course it isn't bad.
Refusing to look at him, she sunk down on the closest chair and wrapped her arms tightly round herself. Tears streamed down her face.
But nice isn't what you want, is it? You like your men mean, moody and exciting,
he supplied, fighting the urge to go over and hold her. She was clearly upset, but damn it, so was he.
I know. I've seen the list of your past lovers.
He shook his head, forcing his shoulders to loosen from their rigid set, his hands to relax.
You know, I should feel insulted. The fact that you prefer the likes of a bastard like Charles to someone who wants to take care of you. Instead, I almost feel sorry for you.
Her head jerked up.
How can you throw that man's name in my face after all I've been through?
I'll tell you how.
Vibrating with anger, sliced to the core that she didn't want him any more, Nick strode towards her.
I care for you. That's how.
Elliot almost told her he loved her, almost spilt his guts and got down on one knee ready to beg. Thank God he'd stopped himself. He didn't want her pity. He wanted her love. But damn it, if he couldn't have that, he'd take desire. She might not want him any more, but that hadn't been the case 24 hours ago. He'd make her feel it again. With a desperate lunge, he grabbed her hand and pulled her up from the chair, yanking her towards him. Teetering on the brink of control, he brought his head down and savaged her mouth. As he plundered her soft lips with his tongue, rasping her bottom lip with his teeth, he allowed the burning, savage emotions coiling inside him to run free. When he finally lifted his head, it was to drag her away from the kitchen and into the hallway. Then he pushed her against the wall and pulled off her robe, shoving it onto the floor. For once, his mind wasn't on tenderness, on giving pleasure. It clawed with a need he couldn't control, a need to bind her to him forever and never let her go. Lizzie felt a moan escape her lips, and she dug her fingers into Nick's hair, securing his mouth exactly where she wanted it, against hers. It didn't matter that he was kissing her with anger and hurt. It didn't matter that when this was over he'd walk away, hating himself almost as much as he'd hate her for what she'd done to him. She needed to make love to him one last time before he disappeared, and he would disappear for good this time. She knew that. His pride wouldn't allow anything else. Soon he'd realise it was the image of her he'd come to care for, not the real person, because that person wouldn't be able to hold on to a man like him. Nick lifted her up, pushing her legs either side of his waist. Then, without warning, he plunged into her, driving her back against the wall. She had never been taken with such hunger, such raw passion. It snatched the oxygen from her blood and the breath from her lungs. For all that she loved the gentle way he'd made love to her before, there was something so elemental about the way he loved her now, so primitive. She was allowing herself to be dominated, but this time it wasn't because she wanted to punish herself. It was because she wanted one last chance to be with a man she loved. His thrusts increased in pace, increased in intensity. Harder and harder he drove into her, jamming her back up against the wall. Just when she thought she couldn't survive it, that she'd black out with pleasure, she felt her body let go and an orgasm rip through her. With a cry of pure female satisfaction, she collapsed against him. Nick gave an agonized groan, and with one final thrust of his hips, he came inside her. As she slowly came back to earth, Nick swore harshly and stepped away. Immediately missing his warmth, his support, she swayed, her legs feeling unsteady. She watched as he yanked up his boxers with quick, jerky movements.
"Still think I'm too nice?"
he asked, his voice brutally hard and filled with disgust.
Nick, I...
I didn't use a condom, he interrupted rudely.
It's okay. It's nowhere near the right time in my cycle.
He nodded grimly. At least you won't be forced to stay with me for the sake of our unborn child, then.
While she began slowly dying inside, he started off towards the bedroom.
I'm going to take a shower.
He didn't bother to look back at her. The drive back to the airport was undertaken in silence. He'd wanted to take a cab. She'd insisted on dropping him off. Something she bitterly regretted as tension filled the car, crackling between them. Finally, she pulled up outside the airport terminal.
"Is this goodbye?"
she heard the tremble in her voice. Pushing Nick away was one of the hardest things she'd ever done. But as hard as it was, losing his friendship would be even worse. He sighed, his voice no longer sounding angry but resigned, and achingly sad.
"That's up to you."
"I don't want it to be,"
she whispered.
"Then you know where to find me."
He climbed out of the car and grabbed his holdall from the back seat. Tears welled, and she tried not to think about the fact that this could be it. That he'd walk into the airport terminal and never see her again. A sob escaped her. Instantly, he dropped the holdall and bent back inside the car. Gently, he placed a hand on her cheek, using his thumb to wipe away the tears.
"I'll always be there for you, Lizzie, no matter what," he told her roughly. "If you need me for anything at all, call me. Don't let me have to come and find you like that again."
Her breath caught on another sob as he withdrew his hand, and then, with a final wave, disappeared into the terminal building. For a long while she simply sat in her car, staring at the doors, willing him to reappear, to tell her he wasn't going to accept that they were over, that he loved her so much he didn't care about her faults, about what she'd done to her family. He was going to drag her back to England with him and wouldn't take no for an answer. But he didn't come back. A couple of hours later, Nick was on his way back to England. As he reclined the back of his seat in the vain hope of getting some sleep, he couldn't help but wonder what he'd done in life, to be fated to always love what he couldn't have. Chapter 25 Lizzie threw herself back into her work, just as she had the last time her heart had been shattered. At least this time nobody had died. Nick was still there, even if there was thousands of miles away, and even if she hadn't heard from him since she'd dropped him off at the airport 4 months ago. During the day, she plastered a smile on her face and pranced about in the latest lines of designer fashion. During the night, she cuddled a pillow, drank shots of whiskey, watched late-night films, and devoured supposedly low-calorie chocolate. Inside, she ached with the pain of loss. Tonight she was in New York to attend a gala to celebrate 100 years of the Estella Fashion House. It was the largest fashion event to be held in the Big Apple in recent memory, and was expected to be attended by a host of celebrities. There were even rumours of royalty. None of it interested Lizzie, who had never felt so disinclined to go to a party in her life. Partly due to the ache in her heart, and partly because she'd be attending with Hank. Definitely not her choice. As Estella's newest stars, they were expected to make a suitably high-profile entrance together, their faces reminders of the perfumes they were hoping to sell. With a long sigh, Lizzie squeezed into the silver gown laid out on the bed. The dress had been made especially for her, carefully crafted to follow the same fluid lines as the perfume bottle. It was demure and sophisticated at the front, just as innocence should be, but plunged daringly at the back, a hint of sin. Brushing briefly at blonde hair recently ironed straight by her favourite hairdresser, she gave herself a critical once-over. It gave her little satisfaction to note she looked good. Hank was going to go crazy when he saw her in this dress. His overtures were becoming more and more insistent, and she'd had to literally push him away on more than one occasion recently. The man had one hell of an ego, flatly refusing to believe she didn't want anything to do with him. A large black limousine picked her up, with Hank already inside. He greeted her with a lascivious smile and a wink. She turned her head to stare out of the window.
Once they arrived, Hank immediately climbed out and walked round to take her hand. As he helped her onto the red carpet, he wrapped his arm tightly around her waist. Too tightly.
"Come on, darling. Let's give them a show."
The glint of amusement in his black eyes told her he knew exactly what he was doing, but Lizzie couldn't argue with him, not in front of the waiting press. So, instead of shoving his hands off and slapping him hard round the face, she turned to the cameras and prepared to do her job. "Elizabeth, over here!" Reporters from all the major news channels were there, waving frantically at her. Lizzie gave them a beaming smile. "Love your dress!" someone from the crowd yelled, and again Lizzie smiled in the direction of the voice. It was a routine she'd perfected over the years. Walk slowly, smile, keep your head high and your shoulders back. Never let them know what you're thinking.
"I've got quite a fondness for that dress, too,"
Hank whispered in her ear as they made their way towards the entrance.
"I'll like it even more when it's lying on the floor of my bedroom."
"The only bedroom floor it's going to be lying on is mine." He laughed darkly.
"Works for me."
Nick settled down in front of the 60-inch plasma screen television he just had installed in his London flat. If he was lucky, he'd catch the last 15 minutes of the Chelsea match. Balancing his microwave meal, for one, on his lap, he'd lost interest in cooking for himself, he flicked through the channels to find the boys in blue. Oh, hell, they were losing again. Obviously his crappy life was now overflowing onto the team he supported. When had Chelsea ever had such a bad start to a season? And when had he ever felt so damned miserable? He couldn't blame work, because at least that area of his life was going well. He kept some headish hours, but the ever-increasing workload was a sign of a thriving practice. No, it was the part of his life outside work that was shitty. He found it hard enough to summon up the will to go out. The thought of dating again made his insides shrivel. At this rate, he was going to be a sad, lonely old bachelor. Fast forward 30 years, and he couldn't see much about his life changing, except maybe Chelsea having a better season. The match ended, and the late-night news began. Nick watched it idly as he finished his meal. He really should get himself off to bed, but he was too tired to contemplate moving from the sofa. The image of a silver-clad goddess on a red carpet flashed across the screen, snapping him out of his exhaustion. Fumbling around for the remote control, he zapped up the volume. English model Elizabeth Donoghue, resplendent in silver, was just one of the big names greeted by thousands of cheers as she attended the 100th anniversary party at the Estella Fashion House in New York, the entertainment correspondent reported. Mesmerized, Nick stared at the screen. How had he forgotten how beautiful she was? How much her smile lit up everything around her? She looked stunning. And happy. And on the arm of that bloody Hank. She wasn't sitting at home with a flat beer and a microwave meal. No, she was being squeezed by a hunky man, lapping up the attention of the world's media and having the time of her life. His chest felt painfully tight, and for one wild moment he thought he was having a heart attack. God, what he wouldn't do to hear her voice, to reassure himself he was still part of her life. Automatically, he began to dial her number. Then caught himself. What was he now, a raving masochist? Even if she answered her phone, which he doubted she'd hear above the noise of the party she was obviously attending, what on earth could he possibly say to her? Nick? His phone echoed with the sound of her surprised voice, barely audible above a background noise of chatter and raucous laughter. He swore, crudely and succinctly. He hadn't cancelled the bloody call fast enough.
Hi.
It's lovely to hear from you. Is everything okay? He could hear the worry in her voice and thumped his fist against his forehead. What the heck was he going to say now? Nick? She was raising her voice, obviously trying to listen over the background din. I can't hear you very well. You'll have to speak up. So now he'd have to shout the words he hadn't yet worked out how to say. Closing his eyes, he went with the truth.
I've just seen you on the news, attending the Estella party, which I guess is what I can hear in the background.
He sighed and lay back against the sofa, rubbing at his eyes.
I just wanted to tell you how great you looked.
There was a pause, probably as she worked out what to say to his lame words. Thank you.
Hank didn't look too bad either.
And he should keep his bloody mouth shut. Now she's going to think he was jealous. Bad enough that he was, that his heart felt pulverized at the sight of them together, but letting her know that was embarrassing her as much as it was him.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
Another pause. It's okay. There isn't anything going on between Hank and me, you know. It's just hype to boost interest in the perfume. This was too hard. The pain of losing her still too raw.
Well, I'll leave you to it.
What about you, Nick? Have you swept any women off their feet recently? A laugh tore out of him.
You see my style. Sweeping hardly describes it.
That didn't answer my question.
Nick laughed again, only this time it carried the edge of insanity, as if he could possibly contemplate seeing another woman now. Lizzie had absolutely no idea. Hardly surprising, as he'd never had the balls to tell her how he felt. Perhaps if he'd gone down on his knees and pleaded with her, told her how much he loved her.
He grimaced. A fat lot of difference that would have made. He wasn't her type. Apparently he was too nice.
No, there haven't been any women.
Does that include Sally? Part of him wanted to lie, to make it seem as if he put her behind him and was getting on with his life. But Lizzie was still, he hoped, his friend, and friends deserved honesty.
It includes Sally.
Once again a silence settled between them. Dimly he heard Hank in the background.
Come on, sugar, get off the phone. We're here to party.
Nick, I...
Have to go, I know. Well, have a good evening.
Before she could say anything further, he pressed the disconnect button, something he should have done the moment he'd first thought of dialing her ruddy number. Acutely annoyed with himself, he picked up his dirty plate and rammed it into the dishwasher. Lizzie was off to party, and he was off to bed, no doubt to spend another night tossing and turning and wishing with every fibre of his being that she was there beside him, in or out of that skin-tight silver dress. While Nick was trying to get some sleep, Lizzie was trying to look like she was enjoying herself. Not easy when Hank seemed to follow her everywhere she went, even to the ladies. "Haven't you found some other women to pester yet?" she asked him coldly as she walked out to find him leaning against the wall, legs nonchalantly crossed, waiting for her.
"Sure, but none of them are as beautiful as you."
"Flattery won't get you anywhere."
"No. What will, then?"
Suddenly he was grasping her hand by the wrist and yanking her towards him. "Nothing you can say will get me into your bed." She tried to pull her arm away, but he held on firmly with one hand, while reaching out with the other. Within seconds he had her pinned against the wall, her hands above her head, gripped tightly by his strong fingers.
"How about what I might do?" he asked roughly.
His breath was hot against her neck, a stale combination of whiskey and cigars. "Have you resorted to forcing women now?" Despite the desire to escape, Lizzie stood still, knowing if she moved he'd probably enjoy it. A part of her, a very small one, was waiting for his kiss. Maybe this was what she needed to forget Nick. Maybe if Hank kissed her, she would enjoy it. After all, this was meant to be her type now, wasn't it? The mean bastard who took rather than asked, who was rough rather than gentle. If Nick was too nice, this was what she was left with, wasn't it?
"I don't need to use force," he replied smoothly. "Women fall at my feet."
"Well, this one isn't."
"No."
He moved his head closer to her mouth, his dark eyes narrowing menacingly.
"I know what a woman like you needs. On the outside you pretend to be demure and sophisticated, but inside you're just one step up from a slut. One on one, two on one. You like it any way you can get it, don't you?"
Abruptly he shifted, grasping both her wrists in one large hand. With the other he began to paw at her, pulling at her dress, making a grab for her breast. As his hot palm touched her skin, she felt her flesh crawl. This wasn't what she needed, not in a million years. There was no way she could stand to let this man touch her so roughly, when Nick had touched her so gently, as if she was a prize to be cherished. Even at his most angry, the last time they'd made love, he'd been passionate, not cruel. "Get off me!" she screamed. Hank shot her a look of annoyance before darting his eyes up and down the corridor, obviously considering whether anyone was in earshot.
Finally he pulled away, letting go of her wrists and revealing raw red marks, a legacy of the powerful pinch of his fingers.
"Guess you'll have to come up with a clever explanation," he remarked carelessly, following her eyes.
"And I guess if you want to avoid a charge of harassment, you'll have to keep out of my way from now on," she countered coldly.
"Touché."
With that, he turned and sauntered back down the corridor. Lizzie leant weakly against the wall, rubbing helplessly at the marks on her wrists. She never felt so ashamed of herself, or so alone. Since her parents' death, she had spent so much of her time fighting tooth and nail to keep her head above water, to not give in to the dark clutches of despair that sometimes threatened to drown her. But while outwardly she'd managed to maintain the appearance of a woman in control of her life, at the pinnacle of her career, inside, she was still a girl who grieved for her family, a girl weighed down with guilt at their deaths, a girl who'd driven away the one man capable of making her happy. Chapter 26. The phone call, when it came, rocked Nick back on his heels. He wasn't sure what caused him more grief, the contents of the call or the manner in which it was delivered. To hear of Robert's declining health was painfully hard. To hear of it from one of the nurses who'd been looking after him, rather than from Lizzie herself, was a double blow. Why hadn't she phoned him? Were they so estranged that she couldn't pick up the phone to tell him her brother was dying? His brother, too, in all but blood. Hell, didn't he deserve to be told by Lizzie herself rather than a stranger? Anger, hurt, and grief raged through his system as he made his arrangements to get on the next flight to L.A. She might not want him there, but he was going anyway. He sure as heck wasn't going to simply sit at home and wait for her to finally let him know his best friend was dead, if indeed she'd even bother to do that. In a matter of hours, Nick was on board a flight to L.A., his sister Charlotte by his side. When he'd phoned to let her know, she'd insisted on coming with him. As far as she was concerned, if her brother was like family to Robert and Lizzie, then so was she. Nick hadn't had the strength or heart to argue. Besides, he was happy for the moral support. After the long, weary flight, he checked them both into a hotel in Santa Monica and was contemplating when to call Lizzie when his mobile buzzed into life. Tired and emotionally strung out, he was ready to get into the phone at her. "Templeton," he barked, even though he knew who it was from the caller ID. "Nick." Her voice, a broken whisper, sliced through his anger and left him aching to put his arms round her. "I've been trying to call you. It's Robert. He's dying." She'd barely got the words out before he heard a heart-wrenching sob.
"I know, Lizzie. One of the nurses called to tell me."
He heard a sharp, indrawn breath. "Oh, I didn't realize they'd contacted you."
"I called them every now and again to check on him. I guess they realized I'd want to know."
He let the subtle dig that they'd told him straight away, even though she hadn't, hang between them. "I'm sorry," she replied quietly. "It should have been me who told you. It's just that since I heard the news..." He heard a muffled sound, Lizzie trying to hide the fact that she was crying. "For a while, I wasn't thinking straight. Then I kept phoning you, and there was no reply." God, she was killing him with her tears. But damn it, he was hurting too. Hurting that in the fog of her grief she hadn't immediately, instinctively reached to call him. To share her pain. To ask for his help.
"What number am I on your list?"
he asked abruptly. That confused her. "What list?"
"The mental one you must have in your head when tragedy strikes. Who did you call first? How far down was I?"
That was when he saw Charlotte looking daggers at him and shaking her head. Shit, what was he doing? She was going through the agony of grief and he was taking her to task because she didn't need him.
"Forget I said that. What I should be doing is telling you how sorry I am about Robert."
"You're number one on my list, Nick. I phoned you as soon as I'd got my head on straight. As soon as the nursing staff told me Robert would hold out for a day or so yet. I knew you'd want the chance to see him before he... She trailed off and he heard her take a deep, shuddery breath. Before he goes.
I do.
He tried to ignore the fact that she'd been trying to contact him for his sake, not for hers.
Charlotte and I have just landed.
He heard her gasp. What? You mean you're here?
Of course we're here. Charlotte's standing beside me as I speak, her eyes telling me quite clearly that I made a total balls up at this phone call.
So, that's why I couldn't call you. You're already on the plane. She was half laughing, half crying, but the joy in her voice was so evident it seeped through the cracks in his heart. Please, come as soon as you can. I'm sure Robert's hanging on for you. The last day had passed in a blur. She had not been home long from the Estella party, just long enough to take a shower to rid herself of the lingering smell of Hank's aftershave, when Lizzie had received the call from the nurse. Robert had contracted pneumonia and wasn't expected to survive it. In a day, she'd rushed off to his bedside and spent the night there, dozing on and off in between trying to phone Nick. She'd been distraught at not being able to contact him, distraught enough to phone his office and ask to speak to Sally. She had sounded depressingly lovely. Perhaps Sally had heard the anguish in her voice, because she'd been full of sympathy when Lizzie had explained the situation, telling her Nick had left the office early, but she'd let him know if she heard from him. Meanwhile, unbeknown to her, Nick had already dropped everything and come over. He came to see his friend one more time, she told herself firmly, and because he was her friend too, and that's what friends did, support each other. As she looked down at the frail, lifeless body of her once vibrant brother, she didn't care why Nick had come, only that any minute now he'd be there with her. I love him, she told Robert, but that probably doesn't surprise you. He was easy to let into our home, our hearts, wasn't he? The quiet to our storm was the perfect combination, wasn't it? The door creaked open and Lizzie leapt to her feet, barreling into Nick the moment he stepped inside. Thank you so much for coming, she told him, tears streaming down her face. He squeezed her tightly, his body feeling as steady as a rock.
Where else would I be?
His eyes strayed over to where Robert lay, and she saw the pain cross his face.
How much longer does he have?
Lizzie grabbed hold of his hand and led him quickly out of the room. We don't know how much he can hear, she explained at his confused expression. I know it seems unlikely he can hear anything, but if he can, I want it to be positive words, happy words.
Of course.
He dragged the hand through his hair, something it looked like he'd done a lot on the journey over here.
It might take me a while to get my game face on, but I can do that.
She squeezed his hand. I know you can. And in answer to your question, they're not sure. Hours, perhaps a day. Her eyes swept the corridor behind him. I thought you said Charlotte was with you.
She came over with me, yes, but didn't want to intrude. We'll see her back at the hotel when...
When he passes, Lizzie filled in for him, feeling another rush of tears. I know it's for the best. I know he wouldn't want to be like this for any longer, but still, I'm going to miss him. The tears burst out of her again, and Nick held her silently, letting her cry. When she'd stopped, she blew her nose and put on a smile. Oh, let's go and sit with Robert, shall we? She held her brother's hand while Nick and she caught up. For the first few minutes, Nick was stilted, obviously finding it hard to include Robert in the conversation when he clearly believed Robert was dead to him already. But Lizzie wasn't ready to say goodbye to her brother yet. She'd never be ready, so she persevered, and gradually Nick relaxed. I spoke to Sally, you know, when I was trying to get hold of you. She was very sweet. I liked her. Nick gave her a wry smile.
Sally is a good person, just not the person for me.
For the briefest of moments, his eyes held hers. and she read his sadness in them. Then he quickly looked away. "I'm sorry," she wanted to blurt out. "I love you. I did what I did, not to hurt you, but to protect you from me. I ruin everything." But she said none of those things. Now wasn't the time to pour out her heart. Not when her brother was slipping away. Nick stared down at his friend, tears pricking his eyes. Lizzie had left to get them a drink, and he thought to allow him some time to say his own goodbye. The nurses had told them Robert's vital signs were worsening. It wouldn't be long now.
So?
His voice croaked, and he wished he didn't feel so horribly self-conscious. Wished he had Lizzie's ease when it came to talking to her dying brother.
I guess it's about time I came clean about my feelings for your little sister.
He let out a strangled laugh.
You probably already guessed, though, didn't you, mate? You're always inviting me to every family event, making sure I was there whenever Lizzie came over from the States.
A tear fell down his cheek, but Nick didn't wipe it away. His mind wasn't in the clinical-looking room with the beeping monitors. It was back in England, with Robert, back in the Donoghue family home that Lizzie now owned, having officially bought it off him a few months ago. He didn't know what he'd have done without Robert growing up. He had given him not just laughs and excitement, not just friendship, but a family, too. And Nick realised with a start he'd given him Lizzie. Sure, Nick himself had then managed to cock everything up, but he'd like to bet Robert had known exactly what he'd been doing all those years ago.
"Thank you,"
he whispered, reaching out to clutch Robert's thin hand.
"You were the best friend a guy could have. And don't you worry about your sister. I love her with everything I am. I'll always look out for her. Always."
By the time Lizzie came in with the drinks, tears were rolling freely down Nick's face. Chapter 27 Lizzie liked to think that in the end, when he'd taken his final breath, Robert had known she and Nick were there with him. But all the times he'd been there for her, this was at least one thing she'd managed to do for him. Now she was watching as the red velvet curtains in the crematorium were carefully pulled shut. The next time she would see Robert, he would be in an urn, his ashes ready to be taken back to England and scattered next to her parents' grave. Later she knew she'd feel some sort of relief that his terrible ordeal was finally over, but for now there was only grief. It wasn't the all-consuming agony she'd felt 2 years earlier when she'd buried her parents. This time her grief was more hollow. Robert had gone, and with him the last remaining member of her once close, happy family. Even now at his funeral she couldn't help but think of what might have been if she hadn't insisted on going to America to model. If she'd gone to university in England instead, taken up a good steady job like a teacher, would she still have them with her? Would Robert be alive, married, perhaps even a father? Anguish ripped through her, and she had to shut her eyes against the pain. A hand squeezed hers.
"Are you okay?"
Nick's kind eyes were filled with concern. She took in a shaky breath and nodded her head. With him by her side, she did almost feel okay. He'd been a tower of strength during the dark 2 days since Robert's death. It was Nick who'd listed out what needed to be done, made the phone calls, advised on the service, held her when she'd broken down. Charlotte had helped too, perhaps in more ways than she could have guessed. Having her with them had been a welcome bridge between her and Nick. Without Charlotte it might have been awkward. With her, they were simply three close friends, coping as best they could through a difficult time. After saying a final goodbye to Robert, they walked out into the sunlight.
"Come on, let's go for lunch."
Nick tugged at her hand, pulling her towards the car he'd hired.
"Robert would have hated to see us so damned morose."
He drove to a quiet place high in the hills. Lizzie put on her dark glasses, swept her blonde hair into a large black hat, and followed him and Charlotte into the restaurant. There, for a few precious hours, she relaxed. She'd even go as far as to say she had fun as they reminisced about their childhood. Nick made her laugh with tales of him and Robert, some of which she'd never heard before. But then All too soon it was time to leave. "Nick, be a darling and drop me off first, please," Charlotte yawned as she climbed back into the car.